Chapter 23. Sheer force of good example, pure life, and kind offices. The ladies of the mission have numbers of clients, of all persuasions, in the town, to whom they extend their charities. Each of their houses is a model of neatness, and a dispensary of gentle kindnesses, and the ecclesiastics have formed a modest center of civilization in the place. A dreary joke was made in the House of Commons about Bishop Alexander and the bishopess his lady, and the bishoplings his numerous children, who were said to have scandalized the people of Jerusalem. That sneer evidently came from the Latins and Greeks, for what could the Jews and Turks care, because an English clergyman had a wife and children as their own priests have? There was no sort of ill will exhibited towards them, as far as I could learn. And I saw the bishop's children riding about the town as safely as they could about Hyde Park. All Europeans, indeed, seemed to me to be received with forbearance, and almost courtesy, within the walls. As I was going about making sketches, the people would look on very good-humoredly, without offering the least interruption. Nay, two or three were quite ready to stand still for such an humble portrait as my pencil could make of them. And the sketch done, it was passed from one person to another, each making his comments, and signifying a very polite approval. Here are a pair of them, two, Fathala and Aminat Daoudi his father, horse dealers by trade, who came and sat with us at the inn, and smoked pipes the sun being down, while the original of the above masterpiece was made. With the Arabs outside the walls, however, and the freshly arriving country people, this politeness was not so much exhibited. There was a certain tattooed girl, with black eyes and huge silver earrings, and a chin delicately picked out with blue, who formed one of a group of women outside the great convent, whose likeness I longed to carry off. There was a woman with a little child, with wondering eyes, drawing water at the pool of Siloam, in such an attitude and dress as Rebecca may have had, when Isaac's lieutenant asked her for drink. Both of these parties standing still for half a minute, at the next cried out for backsheesh. And not content with the 5 piastres which I gave them individually, screamed out for more, and summoned their friends, who screamed out backsheesh too. I was pursued into the convent by a dozen howling women calling for pay, barring the door against them, to the astonishment of the worthy papa who kept it, and at Miriam's well the women were joined by a man with a large stick, who backed their petition. But him we could afford to laugh at, for we were two, and had sticks likewise. In the village of Siloam I would not recommend the artist to loiter. A colony of ruffians inhabit the dismal place, who have guns as well as sticks at need. Their dogs howl after the strangers as they pass through, and over the parapets of their walls you are saluted by the scowls of a villainous set of countenances, that it is not good to see with one pair of eyes. They shot a man at midday at a few hundred yards from the gates, while we were at Jerusalem, and no notice was taken of the murder. Hordes of Arab robbers infest the neighborhood of the city, with the sheikhs of whom travelers make terms, when minded to pursue their journey. I never could understand why the walls stopped these warriors, if they had a mind to plunder the city, for there are but 150 men in the garrison, to man the long lonely lines of defense. I have seen only in Titian's pictures those magnificent purple shadows in which the hills round about lay, as the dawn rose faintly behind them, and we looked at Olivet for the last time from our terrace, where we were awaiting the arrival of the horses that were to carry us to Jaffa. A yellow moon was still blazing in the midst of countless brilliant stars overhead. The nakedness and misery of the surrounding city were hidden in that beautiful rosy atmosphere of mingling night and dawn. The city never looked so noble, the mosques, domes, and minarets rising up into the calm starlit sky. By the gate of Bethlehem there stands one palm tree, and a house with 3 domes. Put these and the huge old Gothic gate as a background dark against the yellowing eastern sky. The foreground is a deep gray. As you look into it, dark forms of horsemen come out of the twilight. Now there come lanterns, more horsemen, a litter with mules, a crowd of Arab horseboys and dealers accompanying their beasts to the gate. All the members of our party come up by twos and threes, and, at last, the great gate opens just before sunrise, and we get into the gray plains. Oh, the luxury of an English saddle! An English servant of one of the gentlemen of the mission procured it for me, on the back of a little mare, which, as I am a lightweight, did not turn a hair in the course of the day's march, and after we got quit of the ugly, stony, clattering, mountainous Abu Ghosh district, into the fair undulating plain, which stretches to Ramlah, carried me into the town at a pleasant hand gallop. A negro, of preternatural ugliness, in a yellow gown, with a crimson handkerchief streaming over his head, digging his shovel spurs into the lean animal he rode, and driving three others, before swaying backwards and forwards on his horse, now embracing his ears, and now almost under his belly, screaming Allah with the most frightful shrieks, and singing country songs, galloped along ahead of me. I acquired one of his poems pretty well, and could imitate his shriek accurately, but I shall not have the pleasure of singing it to you in England. I had forgotten the delightful dissonance 2 days after, both the negroes and that of a real Arab minstrel, a donkey driver accompanying our baggage, who sang and grinned with the most amusing good humor. We halted, in the middle of the day, in a little wood of olive trees, which forms almost the only shelter between Jaffa and Jerusalem, except that afforded by the orchards, in the odious village of Abu Ghosh, through which we went at a double quick pace. Under the olives, or up in the branches, some of our friends took a siesta. I have a sketch of four of them so employed. Two of them were dead within a month of the fatal Syrian fever. But we did not know how near fate was to us then. Fires were lighted, and fowls and eggs divided, and tea and coffee served round in tin pannikins, and here we lighted pipes, and smoked and laughed at our ease. I believe everybody was happy to be out of Jerusalem. The impression I have of it now is of 10 days passed in a fever. We all found quarters in the Greek convent at Ramlah, where the monks served us a supper on a terrace, in a pleasant sunset, a beautiful and cheerful landscape stretching around, the land in graceful undulations, the towers and mosques rosy in the sunset, with no lack of verdure, especially of graceful palms. Jaffa was 9 miles off. As we rode all the morning, we had been accompanied by the smoke of our steamer, 20 miles off at sea. The convent is a huge caravanserai. Only 3 or 4 monks dwell in it, the ghostly hotel keepers of the place. The horses were tied up and fed in the courtyard, into which we rode. Above were the living rooms, where there is accommodation, not only for an unlimited number of pilgrims, but for a vast and innumerable host of hopping and crawling things, who usually persist in partaking of the traveler's bed. Let all thin-skinned travelers in the East be warned on no account to travel without the admirable invention described in Mr. Fellow's book, nay, possibly invented by, that enterprising and learned traveler. You make a sack of calico or linen, big enough for the body, appended to which is a close chimney of muslin, stretched out by cane hoops, and fastened up to a beam, or against the wall. You keep a sharp eye to see that no flea or bug is on the lookout, and when assured of this, you pop into the bag, tightly closing the orifice after you. This admirable bug disappointer I tried at Ramlah, and had the only undisturbed night's rest I enjoyed in the East. To be sure, it was a short night, for our party were stirring at 1 o'clock, and those who got up insisted on talking and keeping awake those who inclined to sleep. But I shall never forget the terror inspired in my mind, being shut up in the bug disappointer, when a facetious lay brother of the convent fell upon me and began tickling me. I never had the courage again to try the anti-flea contrivance, preferring the friskiness of those animals to the sports of such a greasy grinning wag as my friend at Ramlah. In the morning, and long before sunrise, our little caravan was in marching order again. We went out with lanterns and shouts of Yalla through the narrow streets, and issued into the plain, where, though there was no moon, there were blazing stars shining steadily overhead. They become friends to a man who travels, especially under the clear eastern sky, whence they look down, as if protecting you, solemn, yellow, and refulgent. They seem nearer to you than in Europe, larger and more awful. So we rode until the dawn rose, and Jaffa came in view. The friendly ship was lying out and waiting for us. The horses were given up to their owners, and in the midst of a crowd of naked beggars, and a perfect storm of curses and yells for backsheesh, our party got into their boats, unto the ship, where we were welcomed by the very best captain that ever sailed upon this maritime globe, namely, Captain Samuel Lewis, of the Peninsular and Oriental Company's service. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.